Fred Film Radio.
This is Fred Film Radio. I'm Samantha Sartori at the 9th Annual Queens World Film Festival 2019, hosted at the Museum of Moving Images. In this 9th edition, Paternal Rights was selected, and today we are here with the director, Jules Roxquam. Good morning, Jules, and thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Paternal Rights is a very personal movie about your family. When you decided to make this movie, and how long did it take?
I started making the film in 2013. The premise of the film initially was just sort of recreating this cross-country road trip my parents took. So the idea came to me to recreate the trip, though I did not know ultimately what the movie would be about. And it took me approximately 4 years.
It seems to me very scary and painful, going back in the past, in your personal past. How hard was working on this movie? And you are compressing an entire life in 18 minutes. So.
Yeah, I mean, it was incredibly challenging to... just making the film itself was... It had its ups and downs. You know, there were certain times where it was incredibly difficult. I think the interviews I did with my father were the most challenging for me. And I would sort of, you know, spend a lot of time processing them afterwards. And not only are you doing the interview, but then you're going home and transcribing it and then editing it. And so having to sit with someone's words that hurt you over and over and over again. But... then there's the process of transformation that can happen because there's a way that you can sort of master them by I get to decide in the end what ends up in the film, how the narrative is constructed. And so the editing of the film was the hardest part for me emotionally, I think just because I had to sit with everything every day, all day for a year. It took me over a year to edit the film. And so that was the most challenging. But there were also really beautiful moments of connection with my family and then with my partner, and also just growth as an artist where my vision was really like coming true and I could see that, and it was a very exciting process as well.
Your mom says nobody in the same family grows up in the same family. It seems that you are trying to show all the point of views. How did you work on this structure?
It was incredibly challenging, and probably in some ways was the hardest part about it because I didn't want to make a film that was about pointing a finger at anybody because blame is not generative. And so but it was such a delicate balance. I would do one cut of the film where one sentence was different, and it would throw the whole balance off. And some cuts where I did just sounded like I was complaining about my father the whole time, and I didn't think that that was useful. One of the things that I did that was necessary for this film that I really hadn't done in other films is I had probably a group of maybe 10 people who I just showed it to who were outside of, who didn't actually know me very well, because I didn't want people who were sort of on my side and who I didn't want people who knew the parts I wasn't putting in the film, because that was the other challenging thing, was figuring out what of this complex story that I was boiling down, how did it read to outsiders, and was it reading as a narrative that was accessible?
Your movie shows your family only in old images. It is very unusual in a documentary not to see the interviews, but listening the voices over images. You blind the audience to the facial expression of your parents. Can you talk about this decision? And was it maybe easier to talk with them without camera?
Yeah, well, I'll start where you ended, which is my feeling was that I knew from the beginning I was never going to have their image in the piece. I only recorded in audio, and partially I knew it would be easier for them. If you can forget there's a microphone on the table, but you can't forget that there's a camera and lights. And so I wanted to be able to really have much more intimate conversation where my parents could feel like they could say whatever. But more to why I really made that decision was because I feel like sometimes, in particular with a subject that is this intense and can be voyeuristic, I really wanted to... make a film that was not inviting the audience into a voyeuristic relationship with abuse. And I think sometimes films about these topics can be sensational a little bit, even in terms of seeing someone's grief or seeing someone's anxiety or upset or anger, that when we see someone's image, I think it's a little bit harder to actually listen to what they're saying, or listen sort of into the words. And so I think also when we hear the voice, much like radio, but we maybe are in our car and images are driving past us, it actually invites a different kind of listening, what Paulina Oliveros calls deep listening, right? Which is a listening where we can hear the throat constrict as it chokes back tears. We can hear the sort of Freudian slips. We hear the specific words people say or don't say. And the film makes clear that bad things happen when we don't pay close attention. And so the film invites the audience to really be attentive in this way that I'm asking people to be in the real world so as to mitigate the violence that sort of happens around us all the time.
I would like to talk about the technical aspect of the movie. The animations are really impressive. Can you talk about the collaboration with Neely Gonianski?
Neely's a phenomenal animator. We just clicked, like, immediately. So I had signed on a different animator, and then the day after he agreed to be the animator for the film, he was offered a full-time job at the National Film Board of Canada. I cannot compete. And so he pulled out, totally understandably. We had not really started yet. And I was like, well, what am I going to do? And I actually went on to Vimeo, and they have an experimental animation channel. And I just started pouring through it. And I found Neely, and I messaged her. And just immediately our conversation, we just were such on the same page. And we Skyped, and I had shown her, like, the film as it was without the animations, because it was pretty close to being done at that point. And she and I just, we had the same concepts really for how the animations needed to be stylistically. And it was to this day one of the best collaborations I've had. I just think she was phenomenal.
Among the animation, there are often fingerprints, which I interpreted as the uniqueness that echoes your past.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, so one of the things that I did in this film was I hand-painted 16mm film. And some of that was, I mean, those are literally, I am putting my fingerprint frame by frame by frame. And yeah, you're right. I mean, it's calling up your past. It's calling up the uniqueness of each individual, because as we know, every fingerprint is different. But also calling, like, the body, the actual body that are so often absent from the screen, calling it into the material space of the film.
Absolutely. Do you think your movie can help people to understand the abusive pasts that they didn't recognize before?
Mm. That's an interesting question. Yeah, I mean, I definitely think that that's possible. You never know. I mean, it's both amazing what our minds can do to keep us safe or sane by repressing memories and keeping them locked away for a long time, which is also part of what happened to me. And you never know what you're going to see, hear, or experience that's going to unlock that. And that I think there are a lot of people who have holes in their memory, and one of the major indicators is trauma, right? Is that trauma is what often keeps us from remembering entire parts of our childhood or entire periods of time, because our mind has just sort of not allowed it to come into our consciousness. And so, yeah, I think that it is possible.
What was the reaction of your parents watching the movie?
Well, my parents had very different reactions from each other, and they had very different reactions from what I expected for each of them. So I showed my parents each the film before I released it, because I felt that was the ethical thing to do, was to sort of, you know, get their reactions before I, you know, made a master of the film and considered it done. So the film was about 85% done when they saw it. And a little bit to my surprise, my father was very supportive. He, even though he did not, quote unquote, like his portrayal, he thought it was accurate. And he understood why I needed to make the film. And he even said he was proud of me, and that he complimented some parts of the film. And my father's not really into art, so that was meaningful. And my mom was actually outraged. She was very angry with me. I think mostly because she was afraid people were going to think she was a bad mother. And I kept trying to assure her that that was not how anyone that I had shown the film to at that point was reading it, but she just couldn't believe me, or she couldn't fully take it in, which I can understand. It was just her fear. And it took us about 6 months of talking for her to, like, kind of feel a little bit okay about it. And then they both came to the world premiere at MoMA last year. And I think that was a really great experience for all of us. They came up on stage afterwards. We had a huge, very positive audience, and they got a lot of positive feedback. And I think my mom could finally understand that no one was seeing them as, like, the bad guy, quote-unquote.
Yes, because as she also said, you know, like, she probably has different standard as a mother than the one that you think she has.
Exactly.
And what was the reaction of the audience at MoMA?
The MoMA audience was incredibly positive, overwhelmingly positive. I mean, just in general, you know, the last year we've been screening, you know, sometimes we don't have the biggest audiences because people, not everyone wants to go to see a film that's about sexual childhood abuse or, but every audience we've had has been so, I mean, even more than I expected, positively responsive to the film, and said some really amazing things, including numerous times people have told me that they've never seen anything like the film before. And people have commented a lot on the craft of the film, which means a lot to me because for me, the film is a work of art as much as it is anything else.
Thank you so much, Jules. Thank you to Jules Rostman for being with us today. Good luck for the movie. I'm Samantha Sartori from the 9th Annual Queens World Film Festival 2019, New York. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.